G'day and welcome back to The Good Sesh. I make this podcast at my house where I live and work out here on Bunurong country. I pay my respect to elders past and present and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded over these lands and seas. My name is Joel and I'm the founder of Big Little Brush. We sell beautiful bamboo toothbrushes and use half our profits to help support health and hygiene programs in remote parts of Australia. This podcast, The Good Sesh, is my excuse to talk with good people who are doing good things. This conversation was such a treat. Sarah Sheridan is the Deputy CEO and co-founder of Clothing the Gaps, a wonderful social enterprise based in Melbourne that creates space for important conversations and drives social inclusion for First Nations crew in Australia. You might know them from their incredible awareness campaign to free the flag over the last few years. A quick note to mention that this will be the last episode of The Good Sesh for at least the foreseeable future as we go through some really exciting changes around Big Little Brush. But I'll share some more info on that another time. This was a really fun chat. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did.
Well, thanks, Joel. It is really delightful to get to spend some time chatting with you this morning. So thank you so much for inviting me to come and jump on the podcast. I'm up on unceded Wurundjeri country. So I'm currently sitting in my office above our Clothing the Gaps flagship store here on Sydney Road. It is an absolute privilege to get to do the work that I do on unceded sovereign land. Like you, Joel, huge respect and honour to Wurundjeri people for their continued connection to this space. I am so, always so chuffed to get to say that I get to work alongside Aboriginal community every single day. I am so in love with what I get to do. So I'm the co-founder and deputy CEO of Clothing the Gaps. We are an Aboriginal social enterprise based here in Brunswick. My business partner is an incredible Gunindjimara woman by the name of Laura Thompson. Now, this baffles me because maths is not actually my strong point, Joel, and that's kind of laughable. But Laura and I have been working together for 9 years this year. It was funny when you asked that, the start of that question of like your journey to being where you are now. My journey to being where I am now is really, really interesting. So super quick wrap up for you is that I met Laura as a health promotion student back in 2014 when I was in my last year of studying health science and international development, so public health and community development at La Trobe. I've been spending some time with lots of different community groups down here in Nam, what we now call Melbourne, and everybody just kept telling me that I needed to meet Laura. So I kept calling Laura. And anybody that knows Laura really well, she will call you back at some point perhaps. And I kept pestering her, she says. And she was like, who is this non-Aboriginal student that just will not leave me alone?
This chick? Get out of here. Yeah, I love it.
It's like yet another white student that wants to come and hang out at the health service. But anyway, so we finally got to meet. She agreed that because there were a whole bunch of people within Aboriginal community here in Melbourne that were heckling me about meeting Laura, she decided, to give me a go, which I'm always so grateful for. And we worked together at the health service for an incredible 3 or so years. We led the Healthy Lifestyles team there. So Laura was the manager and I was the coordinator. We rolled out some really incredible programs and we were always under government funding and we wanted to think about what stepping outside of that model and using business as a way to do that could look like. So we started a health promotion consultancy called Spark Health in 2018 in January. On the 1st of January, we officially launched. Now, we'd always been doing merch at the health service as well. So when you came to 4 out of 6 of our health and wellbeing programs, you earned yourself a free piece of merch. It was a running singlet normally. It was really, really beautiful merch that reinforced cultural identity and a connection to something and really united people in that. And when we started Spark Health, we started with a little range of a Frank Green cup, a hoodie and a running singlet. And because we were Spark Health, The merch was, of course, called Spark Merch because we couldn't come up with anything better at the time, and it all just kind of made you know, way back then we were like, one day we might be able to sell enough Spark Merch pieces to fund the work that we were doing with that. So we were still in sort of like a government funding model, but we were just subcontracting into other Aboriginal orgs and community groups to help them roll out their community engagement work. What we loved and what we still love is community engagement and bringing people together over something. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years, you know, the merch kind of kept growing a little bit. Sianna Catullo, who's a Narunga woman, she was actually a volunteer with us way back in our Spark Health Day. So Sen's been with us since day one.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. It's hilarious, actually. So Sen was, so just like I was the health promotion student doing my, you know, my internship placement work, so was Sianna. So Sen was actually a promotion, like a health science student at La Trobe.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we used to run the Fitzroy Stars Junior Football Club on a very, very cold, very early Sunday morning. So Doug Nichols Oval in Thornbury. Sen, you know, was very polite about saying it, that, you know, she thought that our merch line could do with a bit of an update.
That's your exact words. We could update this, Sarah. Yeah, great.
Something along those lines. And Lewis was like, well, if you think you could do better, go for it. He was with a bit of a, you know.
Bit of sass, bit of classic Laura sass. Yeah.
And so she did. And Sen, you know, workshops and things with, you know, some of her her peers. She's a fair bit younger and a bit more cool than Lewis and I. And she came back to the OG range. You know, sort of in this time, like, we'd been through a bit of a rebrand from Spark Merch to Clothing the Gap, and we were in the middle of the Free the Flag campaign as well, so the brand was really starting to gain traction. In the background, we had the cease and desist, or the, you know, the trademark issue from Gap Clothing that nobody knew. We were like, everybody's getting around this Clothing the Gap brand. We don't even know if we're going to be called that very soon. It was a lot. So the first couple of years of business and the brand were from an operations, like, behind the scenes perspective, like, chaos.
Yeah.
And then from a facing perspective as well, we were, you know, we were elbows deep in running a nationwide public advocacy campaign to free the flag. While Laws and I aren't paying ourselves yet, we've only just been able to afford to pay Sianna. She's been working for, you know, a very long time for free. And, yeah, it was just the three of us, and we were handwriting, you know, Oz Post parcels in our hilarious office in Preston above Rentable. So it's a very classic startup story of, like, no funding. We've never had any, like, we've had no seed funding. We've had no sort of angel investor that's magically rocked up at the door and said, do you need $500,000?
Wouldn't it be nice?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So it has genuinely been just, you know, the support of people buying the teas that's enabled us to grow in this way and to be a really independent, agile business.
Love that. Community driven, community action, like, in its purest, most, like, by definition, you know, it's so cool. So it seems like that moment, the Free the Flag campaign, you know, I say a moment, it was obviously, like, years of work and focus and intention, but it seems like that was a real sort of catalyst for growth in the business, for sure, but then really you talked about kind of identity and community is a big part of what you do, but for those things really accelerating. Tell me more about what that was like, and, you know, little organization, it sounds like it either could blow you up or, like, blow you up in either sense, you know, in the good or the bad sense.
It was a lot. It was full on. We were always really clear, though, about why we were running the campaign, and we really just committed essentially to do whatever we had to do to make it work and to keep it going. It, you know, at times that would mean that, you know, Laura would be essentially taken out of the business for, you know, big chunks of time to lead that work. And as I said, like, we weren't barely paying ourselves. Like, there wasn't a great deal of, you know, resources to be able to support that, but we knew we really wanted to. Yeah, so for 2.5 years, we led that campaign alongside some absolute, you know, incredible gems through, you know, Nova Paris, Michael Connolly. Michael Connolly led the fake arts campaign against Birribi Arts. Like, that's a groundbreaking campaign. He's amazing. And we had the most sensational legal support from FAL lawyers here in Melbourne. And Peter Francis and his team, the work that they did with us and with the campaign team in that time, we will never be able to count how many hours of pro bono legal support they provided to us, because there was never any discussion around like, well, you've reached your 60-hour limit.
You've reached your quota. Yeah.
They were so amazing. But from the brand growing perspective, we really saw the brand step into its own of being able to be a platform for creating change. We talk about making pieces of merch that unite people through fashion and a cause and enable people to wear their values on their tee. Like, we really, really believe they're not just, you know, random catchphrases that we think are cute. Like, that is the absolute core of why we do what we do, is because a t-shirt is not a t-shirt, it's a walking billboard that enables you to change the social landscape of this country and to very clearly make a statement about either who you are, what you believe in, what you want to see change in this space. That, you know, unless you're standing at the coffee line and I walk up to you and be like, hi, I'm Sarah and I care about Aboriginal causes and here's one that I want to talk to you about. Like, I mean, I would get a weird look, but that's okay. But that's what my
t-shirt's probably more effective than that, yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, they really are conversation starters, and we absolutely saw that in the Free the Flag campaign when every single one of those AFL teams warmed up in their Free the Flag tee in, you know, in the Sir Doug Nicholls round, in the Indigenous round of 2020. The next, you know, within that 2-week period after that event, we saw a Senate inquiry be launched into the issue. So it was no longer, like, people couldn't ignore it any longer, this mass conversation that was broadcast across, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of homes in those moments was so powerful. And it was a t-shirt that did that, and that's so cool. So, you know, we, as a health promotion person, sometimes people will ask me, why on earth are you running a streetwear label? Like, how did you get here?
Yeah. And it's not what your degree was for, yeah.
Not at all. I Google a lot of stuff, Joel. But not only, I guess, like, what we've really learned and got very clear about as well is not only does the brand provide income generation to support the incredible work of the Closing the Gaps Foundation, which I can talk about a little bit more in a moment, it also, as in its own right, enables us to, you know, advocate, elevate other voices in this space for change, especially Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voices, you know, motivate people for social change and really, you know, push other retailers and other brands to think about what they're doing in this space and how together we can really make a difference about what this country looks and feels like.
Yeah, someone needs to go first, don't they? Like, you need someone to really take leadership and ownership, and that's absolutely what you all are doing. I've been very humbled and just so impressed by the dedication, because, like, 2.5 years in that particular campaign, but, you know, the other work that you've done, not getting paid, busting your guts all day every day for, like, what probably felt like at times not a lot of reward and a lot of outcome, but then you hit critical mass and, you know, good things happen, and it's changed the narrative, right? Like the way we talk about, you know, ownership of Indigenous IP and things like that now it's completely different to what it was before, you know, those moments. So yeah, I won't gush too much, but far out, what amazing work that, you know, you guys are doing. I'm so proud of it and appreciate it. You know, tell us more about the foundation. You mentioned that a moment ago. Tell us more about the work that you do there.
Yeah, thanks, Joel. So the Closing Gaps Foundation is an Aboriginal-led not-for-profit working essentially to add years to Aboriginal people's lives. It's that original work of Spark Health that we were doing, really just translating into a brand piece that kind of makes more sense now that, you know, it just, it makes more sense.
Is
so special. I love it so much. Lena Charles, who's the Yorta Yorta Gunai Kurnai, absolute legend of a, you know, facilitator and community engager, does the most brilliant work leading those impact pieces. We work alongside Aboriginal community groups to run our NAIDOC fun run every year. So every year with the when the NAIDOC thing gets announced, we start, you know, getting really excited about designing medals and merch. What we've seen is we've seen Aboriginal community groups around the country take the bone structure of our fun run. So we do all of the heavy lifting in the background, essentially. Design all of the flyers, the registration forms, the medal, the bibs, the stickers.
All the systems-y sort of stuff, right?
But when you're a health promotion person working in a community org, there might only be one of you. You don't have time to get everybody registered and make the thing look cute.
Yeah.
It's all the bit where we make the thing look cute. And Leans does an amazing job at this. And then Leans works with community orgs to essentially then just come in and drop their logo on it and get that flyer out to their community. We have had about 20,000 people do our fun run over the last couple of years.
What?
I know.
Serious?
I know. So this pack, it's massive. This pack that Leans has designed, it's called Mob Run This, because we know that we can't run, we can't go and run a really grouse community fun run in Bourke. Bourke community know how to run a really grass fun run for Bourke. They know what that looks like. So that huge layer of enabling self-determination in that and just doing the back-end work and then being able to hand that over has been so cool. So I'm really proud of the way that the foundation's being able to do that. That's been amazing. It also means that, you know, individuals can register for the fun run. It's one of our biggest fundraising activities for the foundation as well. Community groups, like, you know, whether it's your running group or perhaps like a workplace, they can do the run. It's a brilliant NAIDOC activity. Nobody needs another morning pee.
That's right.
Get out. So one of the things that we really love that we see about the NAIDOC run as well, or walk or bike ride or whatever it is you want to do, it's a movement that encourages movement, we say. One of the best things that we see is when we see people getting outside and thinking about country in a way that they perhaps haven't before, and then being able to use the NAIDOC theme to reflect on that while they're, you know, getting their movement in. It's really special. So that's one of the key, I guess, like key projects of the foundation. We're also just about to kick off our first face-to-face program back out in the world post-COVID.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
To be back. We're back out in the northern suburbs of Melbourne. We're at Epping Woolert is where we are. So anyone's listening, Aboriginal community out that way, come and get involved. So it's a 6-week
health wellbeing
program. Yeah, come join us. 6-week health wellbeing program. We do a workout, we unpack a health topic, and we have a feed together. And it's going back to that original program that we ran you know, pre-COVID as part of Spark, all of those things where if you come for 4 out of 6 sessions, you earn your free running singlet. Like I'm so excited about it. And then it's in the lead up to the NAIDOC run as well. So we're all training together.
Crew can get all fit, get their sweet singlet and then go do the fun run. That sounds perfect.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's really fun. And then Leans also spends a huge amount of time working in schools and workplaces and with other community groups running traditional Aboriginal games, which is so much fun. So if you're a workplace and you're looking for a really great team activity and an opportunity to, you know, embed Aboriginal culture and learning into those spaces, really encourage them to check out our traditional Aboriginal games workshops. It's so much fun. So we play
that's awesome.
Leans teaches and plays games from a really incredible resource called Yolunga. That's so much fun. Anyway, I love the foundation.
Yeah, that's great. So you wear a number of different hats, and I think, you know, anyone who's listening will start to get a sense that there's a lot that goes on in your world. Tell us about sort of how you manage the interplay between, you know, Spark still exists in the form of the foundation, you've got Closing the Gaps, you know, before we started recording, we're talking about some of the other things that you're involved in, and how do you sort of stay across them and tell me about how they're all connected, and is there a golden thread that sort of weaves them all together?
Yeah, that's an exceptional question. I do wear a lot of hats, and I think anybody in small business does. We are super lean, like, so upstairs, so outside of our warehouse and our retail spaces. And I'll talk a little bit more about our warehouse in a second.
Awesome. I'm keen to hear more about it. Yeah. Yes.
It's so good. We have 4 full-time staff, including myself and Laura, and 2 part-time graphic designers. That's it. Like, that's
so like
it.
A total of, like, let's say 5, use a business
5.5
term. 5.5. Yeah. 5.5 FTE. Crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. So we are super lean. Everybody is just like an absolute gun. They're just machines at what they do. We've all been doing it for a really long time. We know the work inside out. And, you know, I think, so I'm, as part of mine and Laura's working relationship together, we have the most incredible complementary skill sets. Like, Laura's is amazing at things that my brain just does not do. And as an incredible, you know, a really, really connected Aboriginal woman who cares an enormous amount about the community, what our messages mean, how our messages land in community, whether or not they're relevant. We talk about, and it is exactly the, you know, how and why we do what we do, is that it all starts with mob at the core of the work. So we say that we do everything that we do with mob in our hearts. And that comes from Aboriginal leadership. And, you know, so I think when we talk about the work that Laura and I do together, Laura leads all of the work sort of on that, like, messaging, branding, what the brand looks and feels like. Technically her role is CEO, but I refer to her a bit more of as a, like, she's our creative and cultural director.
Gotcha, yeah.
Sure that, yeah, that's, you know, that the brand is that, because if we're not that, then there's, we are not being true to why we do what we do.
Yeah.
And then I look at everything sort of like from like an operations perspective. So HR, finance, business development, you know, all of the really fun corporate governance stuff that has to happen.
Yeah, fun. I noticed you said the word fun and sort of smile. Fun corporate governance.
Fun corporate governance. Yeah. I actually love corporate governance. Like, I talk about that all day, but... And then the retail spaces, like the logistics around the retail spaces and the warehouse as well. So we run our own distribution centre here at Clothes & Gabs. And last financial year we created just over 28,000 hours of Aboriginal youth employment.
Whoa.
That was last year, coming off the back of, like, lots of, like, weird shutdown COVID-y kind of stuff.
Yeah. That's impressive,
So I'm so excited to do our impact wrap-up for this, you know, the financial year that's very quickly coming to a close.
Yeah, very rapidly, yeah.
Whoever put Reconciliation Week and end of financial year in, like, the same space of time, and then in the lead-up to NAIDOC Week, like, I pretty much say goodbye to everybody for, like, 8 weeks and shut my door.
Yeah.
Nuts. So I think... we talk about social enterprise and the way that we're also a B Corp, and the way that we do business is that those impact decisions are embedded in every single decision and the way that we actually undertake the work. So we could outsource our distribution, you know, easily. It would probably be much smoother, perhaps, probably give me a few less grey hairs.
Probably cost about the same, but, you know, you miss this opportunity for creating impact, right? So,
which is so, 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 so cool. So we have 37 team members here at Clothes & Gabs. 33 of our team are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander.
Wow.
And then that's also the reason why we talk about, like, the actual, you know, tangible hours of employment that generates, because it's not just about how many signed contracts that we have. So So we pick and pack all of our orders here. So when you place an order with us online, it gets the stock gets processed here. We pick it, we pack it, we send it out. We have a really amazing operating system in our warehouse. We use scanners. That essentially means that once our team members are trained in scanners, they could go and get a job at Coles, Woolies, Kmart, anywhere, any of those, like, huge, you know, places, and pick up that scanner and know enough about what to do with it. Like, I'm so proud of that it means that just that capability piece of work for people wanting to, like, we don't want to necessarily like hold people forever in this space, but for long enough for, like, we get lots of amazing people who come in and it's their first job, and you know, they start folding t-shirts and then they start packing an order and then they, you know, then they start picking an order and
yeah,
flourish and really step into different challenges within that space is so cool.
Yeah, it's almost like the best thing that can happen is they grow out of closing the gap and go work, get their second job and their third job.
Yes, we talk about the warehouse space and the retail space as well being a bit of a trampoline, in that it's it's there for you while you're in, but when you're ready to jump off, that's okay too.
Yeah, and we'll give you a good shove in the perfect right direction.
And link you up with the legend that we need to meet at the other spot as well. So the employment pieces and the growth of the amazing young people that choose to come and work with us every day is really special.
Coming up after a quick break, Sarah and I talk more about Australia's oldest living culture and the opportunity we all have to engage in the richness of that culture in our current context. Stay tuned.
I have a million more questions for you, and I'm struggling to decide which direction to go next, because I want to hear more about kind of the, you know, for you personally, it's comfortable as you want to be sharing, what's your deeper kind of connection and purpose in this space, and why is it commerce as the tool for community and identity development, and why not, you know, why aren't you still a health professional working doing health promotion? Sarah, explain yourself. You got a degree. What's the, you know, why aren't you doing that?
Such a great question. One that I asked myself at one point, so I decided to do some study into it. So you're going to die. I'm doing my honours at the moment.
You're a mad cat. I don't know how you do it all, mate. That's ridiculous.
I have an amazing team. I'm looking at the link between essentially like Aboriginal political fashion, so what we create here at Clothing Gaps, and social emotional wellbeing. So we hear anecdotal stories all the time, either from our team or, you know, people who wear our merch out in the world, of a conversation that they've had or something that's happened after wearing the t-shirt, or maybe a connection that they've made, or perhaps like someone came into the store the other day and told us a story about they were at their first day of uni and they're an Aboriginal person and they were really, you know, they were feeling a bit uneasy about, you know, whether or not they'd be any other mob in the class, and somebody wearing.
Yeah, do I want to wear a Clothing the Gaps tee and maybe get branded as that person who does, you know, yeah, totally. And then it was uni days, fire up.
Yeah, they saw someone else wearing Clothing the Gaps tee and they're like, oh, they may not have a mob yet, but at least like they knew that they had someone that probably shared a value that they could have a chat about. And just the way that, I guess, like fashion can change spaces in that, and when we talk about health environments from a health promotion perspective, I really feel like merch with a message actually is a health promotion tool in changing spaces.
Yeah, it's cultural health, isn't it? It's not just like, is there a fun run that I can sign up to at uni, but it's like, can I culturally be my full self, and can I be safe in this space? Like, that's a measure of cultural health for sure. Far out.
Yeah, so it's really, really interesting, and there's some incredible you know, Aboriginal researchers and you know, people who have been doing some amazing work in that cultural safety space for a very, very, very long time. So working with our team here to just unpack that a little bit, which I'm really excited about. But why I do what I do at the absolute, take all of it away from it, why I do it at the absolute crux of it is because I really love people. And it actually really baffles me that more people in this country don't have a wonderment about Aboriginal culture and history and place.
Yeah.
Respect for that. And because they don't know what they're missing out on. Like, it's, Paris has this really great quote that she says about, like, you know, when you, something about like when you when you accept us and respect us and recognize us, you don't lose 250 years of history. You gain 65,000.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
I love that so much because it's so – she, Nova summed it up so well in that I feel like there's this – when you don't get it and perhaps it's been from, you know, not having had those opportunities to connect or, you know, those things, perhaps it's fear, perhaps it's, you know, a thought of like I've got to give something up, but it's actually what you get and what you gain as a non-Aboriginal person who, you know, I'm so grateful that I get to learn more every day in this space. And I just want to see more non-Aboriginal people have the respect and connection to and that honour of culture and history that I get to have, really. And I think, you know, where if creating pieces of merch that are conversation starters that puts something in somebody else's face that hasn't seen or thought about that before and it begins that reflection and curiosity process for them, then that's huge. So I get really excited about what it looks like when broader Australia more widely is excited about and connected to culture in the way that that I think they should be and with the respect that it deserves. So, you know, and it's so weird because we go to other countries and we're like, oh, I want to go and do the tour and the cultural thing.
I want to have a cultural experience,
It actually kills me. Or like people will say like, oh, you know, I want to go and learn more about Aboriginal culture, so I'm going to go to the Northern Territory. I'm like, I don't get it. Like wherever you are on unceded Aboriginal land or Torres Strait Islander country, like it's there is so much to learn. I spent last weekend down on Gunditjmara country, so Gunditjmeering, learning from I get so excited about it. a Gunditjmara friend of mine by the name of Keisha Day, who took us through like the Gunditj people have been doing an amazing amount of work in setting up like this incredible cultural tour experience around so what used to be called Lake Conda. There's now this amazing cafe there that is run by Gunditjmara people. You can learn all about Kuyang, so the eels, so like the eel farming that happened and still happens across Gunditjmara country is just so incredible as a social enterprise, and you know it is just such a big reminder that this model of doing work in a sustainable practice that's being respectful of, you know, your triple bottom figure, like it's not
not new, and like not over extracting and not and thinking about the long term, like these are not new concepts.
And I was driving home from that way, and so like Budj Bim is now UNESCO World Heritage listed, and anyway, there's just been the community down there's doing like an unfathomable
amount. It's awesome,
and showcase this incredible piece of country, and I just, you know, I walked away from one of the spaces we were at, you know, looking at, you know, stone huts and houses and communities that had essentially been there for thousands and thousands of years, being like, I don't even need to go to the pyramids. This is way better.
Yeah, I got pyramids right here, man. They're better. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
It actually baffles
me. Isn't that amazing, that mindset of like I want to go and learn about a thing, so – like that's obviously not something I can do in my present context. I have to go somewhere else to go and do that. It's like a real, I feel like that's a real Western kind of colonial thing. It's like I need something, so I'm going to go somewhere else and get it. Like, yeah, I won't get too preachy, but yeah, I love that. Like, but no, you're in it. Like you're in it right now. It's like when we say, oh, I want to go and care for the environment. Like, no, you are the environment. Like you are in it. You are part of it. We are an expression of it. Like, yeah.
You're planting lawns and plant some different things in your backyard and you're doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like you probably already have some native things growing in your backyard. We call them weeds and we whip them out, but like those things are meant to be there. But yeah, anyway, it's a whole other tangent I could get on.
100%. Yeah, I guess like that's why I do what I do.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. That's a, it's a great insight, and I so relate to that. Like, I just want people to know, you know, I just want people to know. So shifting gears a little bit, in that, that, you know, the work that you do and in the journey to get to where you're going, do you have some specific resources, sources of knowledge, podcasts, films, people, thinkers, books, whatever it might be, that you go to regularly or that you felt were really formative for you in your thinking?
Yeah, there are so many. That's also a really great place to start. So not only can people, you know, pick up a conversation starter that enables them to wear their values, we also have like a huge resources hub on our website as well. I've been going back and re-listening to Bo Spearham, who's an incredible fellow, and he runs a podcast called Frontier War Stories. Yeah, and especially at this time of year, like in the lead up to recently, like with Anzac Day having just gone past, thinking about, you know, those forgotten, the forgotten pieces of history that are selectively not spoken about across many spaces. Being able to, really encourage your listeners to check out Frontier War Stories.
Awesome.
There are so many, but yeah, start with our website, and then in our blogs we have big links and things. And just think, Google is just the most incredible resource as well. Like, whatever it is, I always encourage people, whatever it is that you're passionate about, whether you're passionate about, you know, regen farming, or you're passionate about science, or whatever it is, or fashion, whatever it is you are passionate about, there's First Nations knowledge that exists in that space, and there's something you can learn. You just have to do a little Google and you'll find it.
Just chuck it into Google, mate, you'll find it. Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. And so, you know, a bit of a tricky question maybe, or a mean question without a lot of notice. If you had to kind of sum up your experience and your journey of, you know, starting the organisations and getting them to really work and going through things like the Free the Flag campaign, if you had to sum it up into like one piece of advice, right, like someone who's coming into these spaces and starting to think about what their expression or their journey might be in shifting the narrative or getting, you know, people to change where their attention lies, would you have a single piece of advice, or like how would you boil it down for someone? I'm being selfish, really. I'm asking, what would you say to me, Sarah, who wants to get better and do more of this stuff in these spaces?
Yeah, I think if I was starting all of this again, I would ask myself to just be, not that I never not knew, but just to be very clear and hold on to it about why you do what you do, because it is hard. It's not all smooth sailing. It's challenging. And when stuff gets hard, coming back to being really clear about the purpose and the values about why you're doing it, because people will throw a million one opportunities or, you know, but what if you just did it this way? And if you're not clear about, not that there's not, you know, new opportunities that might come up to shift the direction in a better way, but just being very clear about why you do what you do and the values and the purpose behind that, I think will mean that what you do will hold true to that on the outside of that. And that's what, you know, we don't call our customers, they're our community of supporters. And I really hope that, you know, that for Closing the Gaps, that's really clear on the outside of that, that, you know, we're very clear about why we do what we do.
Yeah, that's amazing advice. Hey, like, have an anchor, but hold it lightly, you know, like be ready for the universe, if you like, or whatever, to shift it on you.
For sure. We never had, like, and this will probably shock and maybe perhaps horrify some people listening, is that we actually never had a business plan. We knew we knew why we were doing what we were doing and all of those sorts of things, but there is and even if we had have had a business plan, we would have outgrown it in the first 6 months. We'd be constantly updating it. And there was at no point on our business plan was it like lead a nationwide campaign for 2.5 years, completely switch direction during COVID, and then create hundreds of resources during the Black Lives Matter movement. But how do you write that into a business plan? Like, sometimes you do just
exactly
agile and be clear about, but I think the the wash and the bit can change, but yes, why doesn't
be clear on your why, and that probably won't. Yeah. I can't remember who said it, but it's that phrase of like culture will eat strategy for breakfast. So if your strategy included Black Lives Matter and COVID, well done, because you must have a crystal ball or something. But if your culture is ready to respond and wrap around those things, and the point is continuing to demonstrate First Nations culture in this country and connect people to it and demystify it and do it with an expression of joy, etc., like those things are, they will transcend any moment, like COVID or whatever. Yeah, that's amazing, Sarah. Thank you. I have a million more questions. You've been super, super generous with your time. Last question for you is, where can people learn more about you and about the work that you're doing at Closing the Gaps, and what are the places to come and find you on the internet, basically?
Yeah, hang out with us online at closingthegaps.com.au. I also really encourage people, if they have Instagram and Facebook, to jump on, especially Instagram probably, but to hang out with us there. So it's just Clothing the Gaps, you'll find us. We really like to keep it real, as the perhaps not so cool kids would say these days. I don't even know. Apparently I'm old now, Joel.
Dude, you and I aren't lit or... Fleek? Remember when fleek was a word that people said? What does it even mean? I don't know. We'll say keep it real. You like to keep it real. I like that.
Yeah. I rang Sienna. So Sienna, who's at the start of our conversation, I was talking about her as being our volunteer when we were in Spark Health. She's now our brand and marketing manager. And I rang her the other day to check a word to see if it was still cool. So now I really am old. was so bad.
That's fantastic. Was it cool? Were you on the money, or did you say you're very uncool, Sarah?
It's fine. It was in one of our videos. But we really love to share lots of like behind the scenes, what's coming, laws. It's what you see is what you get, which we love. It's not very polished.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'll throw some notes in the show, some links, pardon me, in the show notes, and Kurt can come and meet you there. But that's awesome. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. It's been incredible. Huge fan of your work. And yeah, I can't wait to see what happens next.
No worries at all, Joel. And thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to share some insights into what's happening in the world of Closing the Gaps.
Thanks, Sarah. You're the best.
Bye.
If you've got teeth that need brushing with a planet-friendly alternative to this standard plastic toothbrush, check out biglittlebrush.org. In the show notes, you'll find some links to the great work Sarah and the crew at Clothing the Gaps are doing. And you can also find previous episodes of The Good Sesh across all the normal podcast platforms. As always, thanks for listening to The Good Sesh.